Hallelujah. I enjoy times like this when we can get together. To the natural mind and to the natural reasoning, when you have all of the missionaries and apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, workers, leaders get together, in the natural mind, it's almost like all of these guys are getting together and trying to drain the oxygen out of the atmosphere. You know, who's going to get the most oxygen and who's going to... But you know what? In the spiritual realm, I hear God saying, this is a unique time, because as you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, workers, and leaders that get together from all over, they add a fragrance, they add a savor of what God is doing all over in His body. And so I love to get together with people, because you kind of sense what God's doing here, what God's doing there, what God's saying over here. And it's exciting to begin to see how God is moving, not just in your little corner where you are, but in all over. And that fragrance just kind of gets together and you say, wow, isn't God good? Amen. God is great. Amen. Hallelujah. I just count it a privilege to be able to be here. And after much seeking of God and spending a lot of time saying, God, I need to have a word. I don't want to preach what I've preached before. I need something that is on the cutting edge of where we are. Give me some perception and insight as to what you want to say, and I'll give my vessel and you speak, and so forth. So after much seeking God, and sometimes this may not sound exactly like a missionary message. Brother High said, give it to him this morning. Give it to us this morning. But you know what? What I hear God saying to me, and what I'd like to just share a little bit this morning on, and I wrote down, I had another title, but I wrote that late in the room this morning, the transitioning and the uniting of the generations. The transitioning and the uniting of the generations, because as I look at congregations and I recognize our congregation and y'all congregation here and different places, you see several things going on in the house of the Lord. You have a generation that's getting older. You have a generation that's coming up. And as we look in the Word of the Lord, one of the things that, and this kind of renewed it, you know, one of the things that renewed this is last week we were at a conference where Brother Hammond's daughter-in-law was preaching and ministering, and called my wife and I out, and we received a word of prophecy. One of the word parts of the word of prophecy was that I am raising you up to be a one who will bring the generations, who will bring the groups, who will bring the churches together. And it was a confirmation, because this is something that God has been moving in my heart. Because I see, as I look at churches, and as I look at religion, and I look at spiritual movement, there is a generation that's trying to arise. And there is an older generation that's trying to gracefully allow them to rise. But there is a struggle that is ensuing between what the younger generation sees and the vision that God has given to them, and the older generation and the things that God has put in their hands to do. And so there's just a little bit of a ripple, not all over, but in places and in general, where I've seen the younger generation and the older generation that needs to work together in a closer way. And again, the very familiar scripture in Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And I see in me, and I see in the church, a need for fathers who will be fathers, not dictators, not strong men, not forceful, my way or the highway. But I see a need for fathers who will love kids, who will pour out their hearts into children. And I think one of the things that, again, makes me feel this way is, yes, we have a congregation, and I thank God for we're seeing revival. It's amazing what God's doing, and we're just seeing so many people that are just flooding, and every week there's just people. But there's a group that catches my eye. There's several young men that have come in full of zeal. There's something in my heart that says, I want to help to disciple these guys, because I see that on every one of them, there is a call of God in their heart. And I want to see them rise up, because I recognize if God tarries, I'm not going to be here. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, well, I want to live to be 120 years old. I say, well, if you want to live to be 120, go ahead. I'll live as long as God wants me to live, and when it's God's time, take me home. Hallelujah. I really don't care what age that is, but I want to be able to be like Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course that you've given me to do. And part of what I feel us older generation have to do is to father, to love, and to nurture, and to grow that generation, so that when we leave, they have a highway that they can move on. They have a destination that there's a path. It's almost like an ice cutter going up into the north. There's someone who's gone forth and broken the ice and made a way for the next ship to go into. And I'm excited because I see the challenge of this, and I want to see it happen. Hallelujah. In my look at the church, I see the church like a family. And what a privilege it is to be a family. Hallelujah. To have a father. Amen. To have the closeness of one another. And I believe that in a family, they need fathers. They need a good father. They need good parents that can help them to grow up and to grow into the things of God. I look back on my past, and I value the family. I value everything that I have gone through. I was privileged to come to Jesus Christ at the age of 5 in the Mennonite Revival, and we caught the wind of the latter rain move and that God was doing and sweeping across the earth, and we just had a great time that God moved in our lives, and I was always had fond memories of those early years. One of my memories of the family is going to Grandma's house. She lived beside of where Sandra and I were. She lived up the street, and my grandma lived beside it. I'd enjoy sometimes when Mom wasn't cooking what I'd like and go up to Grandma's house and see what she's cooking. And it was always great to go in the kitchen, and she had this big old coal stove, and there was always bread, the smell of bread or apple dumplings, and you know, you get a dumpling, throw it in a little sugar and milk, and then you'd say then you'd sit down and there was conversation, and you'd say, oh man, this is great, I'm going to come to Grandma's house again. And fond memories of those years as a family. Mom and Dad had a store for 14 years. Dad had a store, and it seemed like between store business and church assignments, they were always busy. And so there were times that I was kind of on my own, you know, because Dad and their time, of course, I helped in the store and all of those things. But it was during those times that I learned the value of a family. And I said, you know what? I thank God that a family stands together. I remember that even though Mom and Dad didn't have a whole lot of time, and they did, we had great times. I have a great mom and dad. My dad's gone, my mom's still living. But in the busyness, I had a favorite uncle. I had a favorite uncle he knew where the game was. He knew where there were deer and turkey and rabbits and pheasants. And I'd always enjoy going over to Uncle Ronald's. And man, you could come home with all kinds of game. And it was just a wonderful time. I had another uncle who lived on a farm. And it was summertime when there wasn't any school. You go out and spend a week or 2 weeks on the farm. Had a lot of cows, and what fun it was to help on the farm. Now, you know, I didn't live there all the time, but it was nice to visit. Enjoy driving tractor, baling hay, helping to milk the cows, and eat the farm food and do the farm work and all of that, because it wasn't your regular routine, but it was fun being with aunt and uncle and the times that we were had together. I always remember the memories of those because it was a family. I had a grandpa that would take me fishing. He knew of this special place that nobody knew about. And ever we'd go, he'd go there. And you'd always catch a lot of fish. It was kind of a hidden little place. And so we would go there and come back and say, man, look at the fish we've caught. Because there's something about a family that you stand together. You love each other. And I look back and I said, you know what? I was young. My grandpa and grandma, my mom and dad, and they were older. But you know what? There was no generation gap. There was no competition. There was no letdown between the generations. Why? Because we were family. We loved each other. We worked together. We talked together. We played together. We prayed together. We walked together. We did things together. We stood for each other's backs, and we encouraged each other because we were a part of the family. And so I look today where we are living, and I see that it is not like it had been back then. Because we live in a new generation. We live in a new culture. And we live in a new time. And there seems like we're so busy building our kingdom, doing what we need to do and what should be done and what could be done, and working in so many different ways. It seems that we come to a place where we have begun to deteriorate in our relationships between moms, dads, parents, children, husbands, wives. And I look and I hear the words of the prophet saying, I'm going to send my servant and he's going to bind the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. I see that necessary in the natural realm, but I also see it in the realm of the church, when there is a necessity for fathers to be raised up in this generation who will take the young men and the young women and who will mentor them and who will love them and who will walk with them, who will open up their hearts and cry out to God on behalf of what God wants to do. And so there are things that I know the devil works to divide. I know the devil works to keep us apart. And I know that sometimes it's flesh and sometimes it's Satan, but there is that working where there's competition, there's pride, there's things that creeps in. And I say, God help us in the church. And so I'd like to just address a little bit, and I'm not going to take long time because we could go all morning just on this, because I like to get people talking and discussion. But my time is limited, and so we're going to just say that there are some things that I have in seeking God that I said, you know, God, what is it that we're facing? And I look at the things that I'm sensing, because I see an older generation and a younger generation that has different views of music, different views of praise and worship. And so I see there's one side of the church where they sing the old hymns, organ music, piano, choir, the backup. But then there's the other side where you see the young and energetic strobe lights, holy smoke, or what is it called? I don't know. It's mist going, background, you know, on the screen flashing, and people and drums and guitars, and they're moving. East is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. But it should not be that in the church. We are a family. And so they're kind of in the generations. There's a younger generation that says, we like this. And there's an older generation that says, but we like this. Not only in the music. And churches sometimes struggle. Because in a church, we don't just have old people. We have young people and we have old people. So what do you do when you're a musician? And I'm involved in worship. We have four different worship teams, and one of them, I love to worship. I love to just praise and worship God. Love to sing and praise the Lord. And so what do you do when you've got, you know, you have generations that are there? So who do you yield to? Or who do you cater to? And I say you got to cater to the Spirit. Not just to the generations. But you know, it's interesting because there is that little bit of ripple, because the younger generation said, we need to sing more choruses. You know, and there are good choruses. God knows there are good choruses. But there's some choruses that are written just to make money. You know, I mean, there's some that just don't work in a church setting. I mean, they're good to listen to, and you say, whoa, isn't that great? But you put it in trying to get a church to sing that, that's crazy. But then there are other choruses that are just, the power of God just falls. And there's anointing there. It's the same with the hymns. These guys that wrote these hymns, my lands, some of the things they've come through, the anointing that's there and the depth that's there. And so you have both of these sides, and yet there is that little ripple that says, I like it this way, and then another says that. But this is the way we've always done it. I find that there's some differences in dress. Now, you can look at me and say, I've dressed pretty old time, okay? Shirt and tie, you know, all of that. I just figured I had to be official, you know. I do have some young daughters and a young son, and they're constantly trying to, you know, get me to dress down and dress this way and do this and that. And I said, I struggle. I've never preached in blue jeans, you're right. And yet my kids are trying to say, come on, Dad. And I know that the older generation, they look on television and they see these guys come out and they're preaching with blue jeans with holes in their knees. Their shirt's hanging out. They got a coat on, but the shirt's hanging out below the coat. And they're walking back and forth and preaching. And it drives the old generation absolutely nuts. And they say, God, they need a dress when they come to church. And so I see that there is the heart, the vision, the comprehension of what church and what should be happening is different. Not, I realize it's not as bad on the mission field in some countries, but in America, as a pastor, you struggle. And I say, God, help us who are older have the wisdom to know how to sit down with this younger generation. And I see that there's also a difference not only in music and in dress, but how church should be. What should be, how do we hold, what is church like? What is, when you're talking about church, what are you talking about? How do we have a service? How do we do these things? And so I find that someone, somewhere, somehow, with the help of God, needs to bridge the gap and bring the generations. We are in a transitioning period. God is moving, and I want to tell you, we are living in the most exciting times. Hallelujah. One of the things that I want to share on tomorrow is we're experiencing revival. And I believe that one of the things God wants to do in this generation all over the earth is pour out a freshness of His Spirit, former rain and latter rain, and the moving of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about what God's doing. And I say, God, help us to not miss the unity, because I recognize unity is so essential for the powering of God falling. Psalms 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when there's division between genders and division between age groups and division between blacks and white and all of these things, it hinders the unity and it thwarts the moving of God's Spirit coming down in the house of the Lord. And so the cry of my heart, And again, this is not necessarily mission, but it is, because it affects the house of God, is that the generations learn to come together. Now, I looked and I said, God, what are some things that are keeping us apart? And I said, I looked and I said, sometimes it's spiritual pride. Sometimes the older generation says, well, we've been in the way. And then I've heard the younger generation say, well, get out of the way. You know, we want to see God move. Sometimes there's a divisive, critical words and talking at each other instead of sitting down and listening to each other. It becomes a divisive thing because you say, I'm right, you say, I'm wrong. You're right, I'm right, you're wrong. And so sometimes there are spiritual pride. Well, we've walked with God for 50 years. Okay. Where are you at now? Well, we're moving in the Spirit. This is what God's doing now. Okay. But you know what? The older generation can learn some things from the younger. If the younger generation can learn some things from the older. But you've got to have an open heart, and you've got to be able to listen. You've got to be able to sit down and get beyond the religious pride. Get beyond what you don't like and what you see and you don't care for. And learn to accept each other as family. The reason I told the stories that I told in the beginning is because of the family to me. Although mom and dad many times were busy, yet I had uncles and aunts and people around who were knit together, who helped, who watched, who grew, and I could depend, and we stood together. And I said, God, help us in the church to have a family where we stand together, we cover each other's back, we pray for each other, we encourage each other, we bridge the gaps. I believe the enemy and flesh that is not crucified works to keep God's people apart. It's time, not in an ecumenical way, but in a spiritual way, for the church to be one. It's time for God's people everywhere to begin. And again, I'm not talking about a political, economic, religious hierarchy, but I'm saying I believe that unity among the house of God, among the genders, among the age groups, among the cultures, I believe that there's a unity that God wants to bring in, because when it comes, hallelujah, when we begin to seek God's face and walk together and care for each other, I believe we're going to see a move of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I recognize that sometimes we lump all of the generations together. The old guys are all the same. They're not all the same. And we older guys, we have to say, you young kids, you're all the same. They're not all the same. Sometimes we just kind of lump everybody together. Say, all these old people are this way. And we look and say, all these young guys are just that way. And you can't do that. Sometimes we have lack of respect. And sometimes, not only lack of respect, but we have a closed mind instead of an open heart and a listening ear. And so I believe that one of the things that God wants to do in my life, and I believe in His church, is to be able to take these young men and young women and begin to sit down and dialogue, begin to talk, begin to pray, begin to walk, begin to work together, and together move forward in God. Because I believe one of the things that I would rather minister to young people than any other age group, because there's something in me that I love these kids. I love these guys. They're full of energy. And I said, boy, I wish I had their energy. You know, they're full of zeal. But you know what? They hear from God just like I do. And sometimes you say, yeah, but I'm older. I've served God. You know, I've served God for, what, 60, I don't know how many years. Anyhow, long time. And say, I know I can hear God. You know what? They can hear God too. And it says, sometimes I need to hear what God's saying to them. And we need to learn to draw from each other. Because if we're serving the same God, hallelujah, He's going to talk. So I realize that sometimes that we see the difference in our views. We have different values. How do you define the world? The old generation defines it one way. The younger generation kind of defines it a different way. What's the world? What's worldliness? And we look at dress and holiness and music and styles and praise and worship and what church is like. And so there are differences. You say, God, what is the answer? And I believe I heard God say the answer is love. You got to have, if you're a father, you got to learn to love the children. If you're a child, you need to learn to love your mom and dad. And I'm not talking about a greasy kind of ooey goosey love, but I'm talking about an old-fashioned 1 Corinthians 13 love. I'm talking about an agape love. I'm talking about washing their feet kind of love. Learning to get down and humble yourself and be vulnerable and open and listen, and them the same way. And I believe that as we walk closer to God, that God will give us a heart of love, that we can go beyond the race, the gender, the age gap, and we can see God bring people together. Because I believe that's what God's wanting to do. I want to tell you something. God told me. I felt like God said, you'll either come together voluntarily or I will bring you together in another way. And I said, okay, God, help us to come together voluntarily. Voluntarily lay down our lives for one another. Wash each other's feet. Do that 1 Corinthians 13, that agape type of love where we learn to love each other, where we learn to walk in unity because of love. Another thing I heard God say is that we need to learn to humble ourselves. I'm not depending on somebody else humbling their self. And I'm not responsible for this age group humbling their self. What I am responsible for is me humbling myself and being able to be open and honest and prefer. That Philippians Philippians chapter 2, and I don't have time to read that, verses 3-8. And another thing is Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, you see, when that's not working, there is problems. Because what God wants in our cultures, in our generation, in our age group, is that we learn to walk in love, in joy, in peace. We learn to walk long-suffering and gentle and kind. We learn to walk in faithfulness. We learn to walk in meekness. And we learn to walk in self-control. And I want to tell you, there's much growing. And I appreciate Brother Chuck and the message last night, because there are some things in the generations, there's some things in the church that we need to lay aside. There's some things that are hindering. And Brother Chuck was ministering to lay aside every sin and the weight which so easily besets us, because there are things. Sometimes it's uncrucified flesh. Sometimes it's the enemy that gets in there, and sometimes we just got to say, God, help us to lay it aside, because it's not essential and it's not important. It's hindering the unity. It's hindering the fellowship of the generations and of the age group, and it needs to be laid aside. And I said, God, help us in the body of Christ to learn how to walk together, how to walk in love, how to keep the unity of the Spirit, how to humble ourselves. Unity of the Spirit. This is exactly. Keep the unity of the Spirit. Wow. Until you come to the unity of the faith. And I think it's important that we learn that there can be unity. There should be unity. There must be unity. And we must see the issues of dress and worship and how do you do church, and all of these things come together. I think when we pray together, we work together, we walk together, we talk together, we minister together, we help each other, we serve each other, we get to know each other's families. And that's a hindering factor, because we got to get to know each other. Stupid little cell phones. And all, you know, it drives me absolutely nuts. You walk down the street, and you'd like to say hi to somebody, and you walk past them, and they got the things in their ears, and they're going like this. They don't even know you're there. And then, you know, another thing that has disappeared in our culture is the people eating together, having fellowship and the family meal. You sit down. Even when you do, if you've got kids and grandkids, they're sitting there, and right by the side of their plate, they're going, pop, 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 pop. They aren't communicating with the guy across the table. They're communicating with the guy across the world. You know, and I says, oh, man. But we've broken down relationships. We've broken down that fellowship. We've broken down, and there's things and gadgets, and that's another thing that divides the age groups big time. The technology. And I got enough of kids that have kind of helped me to get on a little of the cutting edge, but when the chips come down and something goes wrong, I call my son and say, Tim, I need some help. Because, you know, I know enough to be dangerous, but not enough to be proficient in the technology area. But you have the younger generation. They want to go high tech. And you have the older generation say, man, let good enough alone. Hallelujah. Just let God move. And I says, wow. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. I said, whoa. Hallelujah. That's NIV. Luke 11:17, but he, knowing the thoughts of their heart, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. Colossians 3, therefore, as God's children, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have among yourselves. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you are members of one body and are called into one peace. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I says, God, give me an example. The generations, what is happening. And God gave me a little story. Two young men by the name of, well, I made up the names, John and Joe, were raised in the same church together. They grew up in the youth group. They were model young men. And as time went on, of course, they got older and they went their own ways. John moved to Texas. And John became part of a worship team in a large church, younger generation church. And John got involved with helping to assist in the worship, playing the drums, the lights, the fog, the strobes, and all of these things. And he was excited. He really loved that. On the other hand, his very close friend, Joe, found a beautiful wife. They got married, and they moved to a conservative area of Pennsylvania. Where? They found a good evangelical conservative church, and they went to church faithfully with their family every week. It was different than John's church, because in Joe's church, they sang the old hymns. They had the old pipe organ and the piano and the choir that sat on the back and sang. And so Joe and John over the years kept track of each other and they drew close together and their friendship never waned away. They kept to be very close friends. And so over the years, they visited each other. And so when John from Texas would go to visit Joe and his family in Pennsylvania, they'd go to Joe's church. Now, Joe's church was totally different than John's. There was no strobes and smoke and lights and flashing on the screen, and there's no drums and guitars and clarinets and all of these, and violins. It was just straight hymns and so forth. But they'd go, and hallelujah. When Joe would go to John's church in Texas, it was culture shock. I mean, they're coming from the choir and the organ and the old hymns, and all of a sudden they're walking in and people are happy. And, hallelujah, praise God. And the guitars are playing, the drums are beating, the strobe lights are gone. And on the screen there's all kinds of electronic things going on. And whoo, coming from conservative Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden you're into that. Now listen, they're close friends. So they tolerate that. Yes, they have that friendship. But by and by, in their visiting together, the subject of praise and worship and music and what corporate worship is all about came up. Now, how do you think they're going to solve the situation? Because John comes from a very young generation that's moving, and all kind, the music, the dress, how you do church is totally different than Joe's church. More conservative, stiff, touch. So they sat down. Now, you got several options. Are they going to be able to remain friends, or is the difference going to divide them? And so you got several options. Number one, you can say, well, we can agree to disagree. Our friendship and relationship can deteriorate. They can do that. We'll do this. So what? We'll just kind of drift apart. Or you could say, well, when we go to your place and visit your family, we just aren't going to go to church. Well, we'll do the same. When we come to visit you, we aren't going to go to church. Or we can say, let's sit down and let's talk. What is it that God's looking for in our worship, in our praise time? What is the goal that God wants to bring as we get together? And learn to talk it out. Now, how are you going to serve the problem when we live in a generation where you have a younger generation coming up that says, we like church this way, and you got an older culture that says, we like church this way? Somewhere, as we talked about, there's got to be that love. Somewhere there's got to be fathers who are drawn to the hearts of the children. And somewhere there's got to be children that are drawn to the hearts of the fathers. And only God can do that as we learn to be open to God and open with each other and humble ourselves and say, God, we hear from you, but we want to hear from our brothers and sisters. We want to be able to not let dividing come by Satan or by uncrucified flesh, but we want to learn to walk with you in unity and with one another in unity. And you know what? I believe that God wants to do that more than we want it accomplished. I believe God's heart is to bring the generations, the sexes, the people of different nationalities. I believe He wants to bring them together. And if I hear anything, I hear the cry of oneness. And God, I don't care. It may not be a large group, but there's a remnant that's going to move in the power and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God in one Spirit moving in one direction, not 100 directions. And it's coming. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about what God's saying and what God's doing. I got to shut up. My time's up. But my prayer for us this morning is, Father, make them one. Make them one as we are one. God, give us a heart for you. Let not age divide us. Oh God, there is a transition that's going on in the house of God. Let it not become destructive, but let it come beneficial to the growth and the maturity and the outreach and the ministry of Jesus Christ in this generation. God, we can't afford to have divisions. There are souls that need to be saved. There's a spirit that needs to move. There's the sick that need to be healed, and the empty that need to be filled, the bound that need to be delivered. And it cannot happen from a fractured, hurt, wounded, disagreeing generation. God, make us one. Make us one. Bind us together. Help us to love each other. Help us to be family. Help us to be family. Oh God, where we stand with each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. We talk with each other. Open-minded. God, deliver us from hard-heartedness. I'm right in your wrong attitude. Help us to hear. Help us to be healed. Help us to be one in Christ Jesus.